Welcome to Bike for Life Stories. Stories from a lifetime of cycling all over the world that will amuse, teach, inspire, and make you think. Written and narrated by Roy M. Wallach. Today's featured story is My Friend Russell, Olympic athlete, gambler, icon of a bygone era, and a role model for cycling for a century. Russell, push it, man, I yelled back. Come on, dude, you can do better than that. I can't do it alone. Give me some of that Olympic leg power. Suddenly, Russell Allen, the stoker on my tandem, kicked it into gear, and it was like a jet engine roaring to life. Suddenly, again, he was that 19-year-old track rider on the 1932 U.S. Olympic team. We stood out of the saddle. I shifted into the big ring. We hit 25, 27, 30 miles an hour. We passed hundreds of riders and hammered through the finish line of the 2006 L.A. Marathon bike ride, 22 miles long, in exactly 1 hour flat. Russell was 93 years old. That was goddamn fast, the last surviving member of the 1932 team whispered to me when it was over, beaming like he'd won a gold medal. Halfway into his 10th decade of life, surrounded by photographers and gabbing away in the VIP area with three-time Olympic cyclist John Howard, 1968, 1972, 1976, Russell looked as happy as a 10-year-old. Doing the tandem ride with Russell that day and seeing the childlike joy on his face was one of the greatest moments of my life. It not only was incredibly fun to share this hour-long adventure with him, but it validated the thesis of my book, Bike for Life, How to Ride to 100, that the bike literally can be a time machine, a fun, thrilling vehicle for anyone who wants to stay fit and functional at any age. Could you really, as Bike for Life promises, and I personally hope, ride a century when you turn a century? 93-year-old Russell Allen, an Olympic athlete, professional six-day rider, fitness buff, family man, car salesman, Guinness Book of World Record-setting bungee jumper, and professional gambler, was trying like hell to prove it. How did I end up on a tandem with America's longest-living Olympic cyclist, a gold mine of longevity who epitomized the very principles I wrote about in Bike for Life and who I actually met because of Bike for Life? I'll explain how in a couple minutes, after you hear about Russell's amazing life story first. Born in 1913, the middle child of three and raised by a single mother in Huntington Park, near East L.A., after his alcoholic father shot himself, Russell was a natural athlete. With cycling a huge sport in the 1920s, he bought his first racing bike at age 13 and instantly was so good that he earned the nickname Legs. Invited to join the prestigious Krebs Cycle Club of Long Beach, Legs Allen quickly developed into a prodigious sprinter and by age 19 won a spot on the U.S. cycling team to compete in the 1932 Olympic Games in Los Angeles. Allen's four-man pursuit team, competing on a wooden track built inside the Rose Bowl, lost its first race against Italy, the eventual gold medal winners. But we had lots of fun anyway, he says, going to all the events, meeting famous superstars of the times like Jim Thorpe, Johnny Weissmuller, Paavo Nurmi, the great Finnish track runner who won 9 gold medals in 3 previous Olympic Games, and the great Hawaiian surfer-swimmer, Duke Kahanamoku. I thought to myself, you know, I could get used to this. And he did. After the Olympics, Allen turned pro, and a wild decade of professional racing all over the globe ensued. In 1933, after a winter season of six-day races at Gilmore Stadium in Hollywood, Allen made friends with a French rider named Félix Lafonette, and together they headed for the big money, back east. We drove all the way on Route 66, stopped in Cleveland where he knew a lot of girls, Russell said. We had a ball there, then we went on to New York City. Soon, Russell was racing twice a week at the outdoor track in Nutley, New Jersey, winning enough to move into a boarding house that charged $10 a week. His goal, the famous six-day races in Madison Square Garden. Starting with 15 two-man tag teams, half from Europe, teammates alternated sleep and riding around the clock for six straight days. Getting into the six-day races in the Garden was tough, he says. I trained 100 miles a day on the road to be ready. Within a month, he was competing in the Garden. The field would often declare a truce for a couple hours in the early morning, and you'd ride on the flat with your handlebars up as your partner slept. Nobody could gain in that time, he recalled. You had little covered bunks around the track where you could get 3 or 4 hours of sleep from 2 or 3 in the morning to 2 in the afternoon when the crowd would start to come in. Starting at 5 p.m., we'd have dinner. 2 or 3,000 fans would show up every day. Admission was only 25 cents, and box seats were $1. Allen never won a six-day race, coming close with several partners. Like all the riders, he took performance-enhancing drugs. We didn't give a thought to what our trainers were giving us, he said. On the last day of a six-day race, the last 2 or 3 hours, they usually had some sort of pep-me-up drink, and you'd drink it. Stimulants, cocaine, we had no idea what was in there. As always, the big money made it all worth it. The minimum pay was $125 a day, a fortune in the Depression, considering that you could take a girl to dinner and the movies for a buck, Allen said. After paying for your trainer and meals, we'd end up keeping $600 a week, with some Europeans getting double that. We were making as much as pro baseball players, but it went fast. Sometimes I flew between L.A. and New York. Sometimes I took the sleeper train. It was the good life. Of course, that included women. I had a lot of girls. We had them just like any other athlete, said Allen. Leaving La Dolce Vita, Allen had no regrets that his pro status denied him the opportunity to go to the 1936 Olympics in Berlin. He raced summers in New York and winters in South America until late 1938, when World War II broke out in Europe. With top Europeans unable to come to the U.S., six-day racing was done and Allen retired. But his athletic resume would come in very handy. In 1941, at age 28, he married a neighborhood girl named Rose who had gone to grammar school with him, wooing her on a tandem. Starting a family that grew to 3 kids, he volunteered for the Navy in 1943 and was assigned to the Tooney School of Athletics in Bainbridge, Maryland, as an instructor, leading marching and exercise drills. Shipped down to Coral Gables, Florida, he taught swimming and survival skills to naval gunners. After the war, Allen started a career as a Chevrolet and Cadillac sales manager. But he found his true calling at the poker tables in Gardena, a lucrative side gig he'd quietly pursue for the rest of his life, professional gambling. We always wondered why he always had a ready supply of fresh $100 bills on him, said his daughter Susan, who didn't discover that her dad was a five-card stud until 1995. One thing Russell never gambled with was his health. Although he didn't ride a bike for 30 years, busy golfing at the Los Coyotes Country Club near his Buena Park home, he always exercised, at least 3 days a week at a health club, pedaling an exercise bike and lifting weights. The biking came back big time after his retirement at 62, when his wife urged him to saddle up again to fight boredom. I joined a club and ramped up the miles, he says. We'd ride down the San Gabriel River to Seal Beach and as far down as Laguna and back, 80, 90 miles. He competed in the National Masters Championships for the next 25 years. In 1984, at age 69, Russell carried the Olympic flame during a mile run in the torch relay in Los Angeles. Also, he was feted at an Olympic dinner, rode on a float at Disneyland, and received passes to every event at the Olympic Games that year. Widowed at age 87 after 59 years of marriage, Allen could still crank it up to 20 miles an hour on the bike path at age 92 when I met him in 2005. As I mentioned earlier, it happened due to the publication of my book, Bike for Life. Here's the story. One day, Allen walked into an indoor cycling class at the Water Garden in Santa Monica. The instructor politely informed him that the class was very intense and then he might enjoy one of the club's easier senior classes instead. Oh, I can keep up, Russell replied confidently. I ride on the beach bike path all the time. In fact, I even rode in the 1932 Olympic Games. The instructor, Audrey Adler, was dumbstruck. Recalling that a member of the 32 Olympic cycling team was profiled in Bike for Life, she asked, "Are you John Sinibaldi?" Sinibaldi, a New Yorker who rode in two Olympics, now was a 90-year-old Florida legend who'd been featured in a big article in Bicycling Magazine, as well as an 8-page interview in my book. Upon hearing the name, Alan got teary-eyed. "No, he's gone," he shook his head. "They're all gone. I'm the only one left." "No, you're not," said Adler. "Sinibaldi is still alive, and I'm going to take you to see him." Alan took Adler's class that day and had no trouble keeping up. A month later, Alan, Adler, and I flew to St. Petersburg, Florida, to meet his old teammate. More than 500 people from 50 states also showed up, joining us for a 25-mile ride organized by Sinibaldi's son. It was officially dubbed Ride with the Legends. Alan and Sinibaldi signed Legends t-shirts and my books for hours. For 2 days, the old Olympic teammates who'd met as 19-year-olds 7 decades earlier and never stayed in touch were inseparable, posing for pictures, poring through photo albums, and talking nonstop, trading names and places like human Rolodexes. While their post-Olympics paths differed, Alan, of course, became a big-money, globe-trotting, 6-day racer, while Sinibaldi stayed an amateur, went to the Berlin Olympics in 1936, then became a factory worker. Their latter-day cycling experiences and remarkable health longevity stories were strikingly similar. Each spent decades off the bike, then took up cycling again in their 60s. Each credited their remarkable fitness and lack of illnesses to cross-training and good food. Alan lifted weights at least twice a week. Sinibaldi spent 3 hours a day digging and planting in his enormous garden. Both were big fans of veggies and unprocessed, unfried foods. "I've eaten well all my life," said Russell. "My mom threw away the frying pan. We always baked or broiled and had tons of vegetables, pickles, you name it. I kept those habits as an adult. Oh, I ate fast food. But as a rule, I took care of myself." A single evening cocktail was his only vice, not counting the gambling. 3 weeks after Ride with the Legends, Sinibaldi died. He'd been diagnosed with terminal lung cancer a month before the party. "The doctor said he was supposed to die in a week," said his son. What kept him alive was that he wanted to see Russell. After the LA Marathon tandem ride in March 2006, Adler and I got together with Russell several times a year. His daughter started inviting us to all his birthday parties, and we became part of his large extended family. As he inched closer to 100 years old, still classy and handsome, he kept getting the inevitable questions about his long life secrets for keeping mind and body sharp. Beyond never stop working out and eating green, he espoused 3 important tenets: friends, family, and education. It's important to stay in circulation, to get away from the TV, and as you get older, to pal around with younger people, he explained. My wife and I always stayed close with our kids and became friends with their friends. After Rose died, Alan lived with all 3 of his kids and visited often, including the youngest daughter who lives in New Zealand. He'd go bungee jumping once a year with her at the famous bridge in Queenstown, where at age 91, he set the record as the world's oldest bungee jumper. At 92, he spent 3 weeks traveling around the Middle East with one of his daughter's college friends. "The smartest health decision you can make is to educate your kids," Russell would say, noting proudly that all 3 of his, including his wife, graduated from UCLA. They will return the favor down the road. As for his lifelong gambling addiction, Alan actually gives it a lot of credit. Maybe the card playing exposed me to a lot of secondhand smoke, allowed the non-smoker, but it kept me laughing, sharp, and gave me something to do. At his 99th birthday party in March 2012, Russell looked frail, but was excited to be flying to New Zealand the following week, where he was going to attempt to reclaim his record of being the oldest bungee jumper. He didn't make it. He died in his sleep the day before the flight. Russell would be mad at himself for that. He didn't achieve his final goal, being featured in the second edition of Bike for Life, as the first real proof that you could actually ride to 100. But 99's not so bad. It'll provide the motivation for the rest of us. Russell Allen, Olympian, gentleman, gambler, role model, world's best tandem stoker. Rest in peace, partner.